Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for playoff baseball,
Keith? I am ready for playoff baseball, Jones. I've been ready for 5 years getting ready for this day.
Woo!
4 years.
It's been a wit. Yeah, I was trying to do math on that.
4 years.
2022, they didn't have any. 2023, they didn't have any. 2024. So, yeah, 4 years.
I've been waiting
for four long years. It's like a Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
That's how long I've been waiting
for
this.
When they got knocked out in 2021, we were four more years.
And we got it.
Four more years, and we got it. We're here.
We took our sweet time, had a couple of last place finishes, had a 500 season last year, a bunch of horrible trade deadlines, but we're back. We're back in the playoffs, and it's the matchup that we've been asking for the last month plus.
When
you look at how this thing was lining up, you're like, give me the New York Yankees, and that's what we got. Excellent.
It is what we have. It is excellent, although.
Oh, no. That's pretty early for an although.
I picture the Jim Carrey gif. Is it Liar Liar or the spit take? He's just, oh, come on.
That is Liar Liar.
Come on.
He's in the courtroom, right?
Like, they're in the playoffs. We're all excited for it. And I know it's your number three starter. It's not like they're losing Crochet.
I know, but he's friend of the show.
I didn't want to bring up the Dork podcast appearance.
Yeah, and that was a while ago. He made several starts after the Dork podcast. It wasn't the next start.
I don't know if several is how I would define
few,
that. But a couple.
It was his two four-inning starts.
The Dork podcast spot did not help him. I'll give you that.
He is a friend of the show. He came on during the Jimmy Fun telethon. He was very gracious with his time and very nice.
I think Adam Cole actually got hurt after I had him on, too.
Oh,
looking back.
Boy.
Not a great history for our guests.
You guys have Tatum on, too, before the playoff game?
Yeah, we had Tatum.
We'll get to him later on.
I had Malik
in the show.
Nabers on last week.
But I'm like, man,
this stinks.
Can't we even have nice things? The playoff series hasn't even started. The guy just pitched.
Yeah.
And now he's out, and I know they're saying it's just for game three. I am fearful just listening to Crochet.
I mean,
it's going to be more than that. Yeah.
Anytime you hear elbow or shoulder for a starting pitcher, you're like, how long is that going
to
be?
He went to Dr. Dugas. I'm not sure Dr. Dugas is getting a lot of residuals, I think.
What
did you hear that?
What did Dugas say?
It wasn't Dr. James Andrews.
What did Dugas say?
It's Dr. James Andrews?
He's knees. Doesn't James, he's like ACL guy, or does he do everything?
Oh, Dr. Andrews said I had a special elbow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He does all the joints.
I was second-guessing myself.
I thought you'd pick one part of the body and really be an expert on that.
I was also fact-checking.
Dr. Andrews said I had a special elbow.
That guy was a treat.
Yeah. I was fact-checking myself. Now, Dr. James Andrews is still with us.
Great. Wait, you thought he was dead?
I wasn't sure.
He's doing ACL surgeries in the sky? Oh, he's fine.
He's 83, though, so maybe Dr. Dugas is the new go-to. 83, no disrespect, that's probably a shaky scalpel hand.
Yeah, not to be an ageist, but how old a surgeon would you allow for?
Oh.
He's like, hey, I'm the best there is. 50. I am 85 years old.
I want a surgeon in his 40s.
We're going to have to schedule this early.
You don't want him
too
young.
To bed real early.
You don't want him too young. I don't need one fresh out of college.
You don't want it to be the first surgery.
No.
But also not the last.
Correct.
There's like a middle ground there where you want them to go in. No, but we thought they had this lined up, and you were saying for a three-game series, because the question for a while was like, who is the number four starter? How often are you going to use the number four starter? That can be TBD, and even a lot of teams, I think, kind of go into the playoffs with that. But for this one, you're like, all right, now who's the number three starter? Like that question just bumps up one more, and the number three starter, you will see a bunch. Knock on wood, you'll see a lot if you advance in the playoffs. And now that's very much up in the air. Like, who the hell is that going to be? And just like people being like, oh, yeah, Roman Anthony might be back in the ALCS. Like, I'm not holding my breath on Roman Anthony, and I'm not holding my breath, unfortunately, on Lucas Giolito. If he comes back, great. But I don't know, this is it's very poor timing. maybe it turns into one of those things where, remember in 2018, Chris Sale and how he ended up being used, and it was like, all right, well, he can't start today, but if we need to close out the World Series, he's available. So maybe we, you know, we can't get five or six innings out of him. Maybe we can get one, but
maybe either, there's a way to do that.
Maybe, but even still, that's been removed for this three-game series coming up.
So, look, I don't know if it really changes my outlook on the series. It certainly doesn't help in terms of who I'd pick. But your pitching matchups now are Crochet versus Fried. Real nice
awesome
pitching matchup tonight,
yep,
in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Fried is a guy the Red Sox were in on. The Yankees signed him. We all kicked and screamed about it. My guy Craig Breslow went out and pivoted and traded for Garrett Crochet.
Who's better?
So
Fried's good. I'm not trying to dump on Fried, I'm saying, but Crochet's better.
Crochet, it was a great move.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe John Henry didn't want to spend. Maybe Breslow couldn't close when it came to Fried, but that wound up working out for them. So advantage Red Sox on the mound tonight, although they are underdogs. I heard Greg talking about this morning. They are underdogs. Last check, I think, plus 115 on the money line tonight. So buying opportunity. Or suckers bet.
Buying opportunity.
For sure.
They own the Yankees. And I think that's just sort of, or they're the higher seed. They're at home. That'd be my guess, right? They play well in that ballpark.
They own the Yankees. He owns the Yankees. His four starts this year, he's 3-0, 3.29 ERA, which is actually higher than I would have guessed. Although his first and last, he wasn't great. He was lights out in the middle, too.
Yep.
39 Ks and 27 and a third. Judge is a mixed bag. Judge, he's 3-for-15 against Crochet. 200 batting average. That's good. 800 OPS because he has two home runs off Crochet.
Home runs or strikeouts, right? He either strikes him out or he socks a dinger.
It's 11 Ks.
Yeah.
So Crochet's gotten him out 12 times. 11 of them are strikeouts. Judge has three hits. Two of them are home runs. So one or the other is happening. But that's your pitching matchup tonight, which should be a good one. Game two is Bayo and Rodon. Game three now is TBD against Cam Schlittler.
Who's now?
Schlittler.
Careful.
He's a Mass kid. He's
Watch
from
profanity.
He's from Walpole, I believe, but that's the game three matchup, should it come to that.
Right.
Cam Schlittler versus TBD. What do you do to replace Giolito if you even get to a game three? What do you
do? I mean, I guess you could go Connolly early, or you could go straight bullpen game, and maybe it's the same thing. Maybe Connolly early is like the starter, but it is just like you have a guy warming up.
I thought
it's one of those kind of things.
I don't know. It's so shameful that you have to do this in modern day baseball.
Yeah.
But I thought Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast had an interesting idea.
All right.
You get a righty specialist for the first inning in game three, maybe Weissert, working for the Judge matchup specifically. You've got to get through Judge initially. Do you want early out there in the first inning against Judge, lefty-righty? Probably
that's
not.
That's a good theory.
Then you piece it together in the middle innings
okay
with early,
with the
and then
game.
It's full-on bullpen game from there.
Yeah, Peyton Tolley, like the third inning or whatever. Like, yeah, I am for sure up for a bullpen game. It's not perfect, but it also neither is having your number three starter go down. And I don't know if there's one guy. Like, we've seen good and bad from Tolley. We've seen good and bad from early. We've seen more bad from Harrison, maybe a sprinkle of good. So, like, there's not a starter that you'd be like, give that guy the ball.
No.
And, you know, hope that you get five or six innings. Probably
Harrison, Hicks, yeah. They both suck.
So maybe that's what you do.
I texted the group yesterday. I wanted Kyle Harrison as the game three starter. I don't really want that. I honestly, that would shave years off my life, and I couldn't really handle the Twitter mentions after Harrison getting that start. So I actually don't want that.
Nick also had a good response. He was just like, you won't need a game three starter if you win the first two games.
Bingo.
Series is over.
All
Bingo.
You need is Crochet and Bayo.
That's it.
So we get that update yesterday that Giolito is going to be out from Corey. He's kind of volunteered, and he's like, by the way, we played it right off the top. Oh, by the way, yeah, I don't know if we kept you guys in the loop on this one. Giolito, he's not pitching. Oh,
I was like, huh?
Thanks, Alex.
Wait a minute, what?
That seemed to be useful information.
That was.
That you could have volunteered. This is Craig Breslow this morning, an early front office report on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, you can use the Rewind feature. Go back and listen to Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show. AUDACY, get it on your phone. Free, easy, take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Here's what Breslow had to say about the latest on Lucas Giolito.
What about can you get into Lucas Giolito if you guys are to advance?
I think we're still at the point of getting information. He saw Dr. Dugas yesterday, who is familiar with him and had done his surgery last year. So he's connecting with our medical staff, and we'll figure out exactly what it looks like. But I think at this point, you just feel really badly for Lucas, just given how hard he's worked to get himself back to this position, the way that he's contributed over the course of the year, and know that more than anything, he just wanted to be on this roster helping us advance.
Is there any type of diagnosis for what the injury actually is, or it, like, is it hurt or is it injured?
I think we're still trying to make that determination. A couple days ago, he just felt like he wasn't recovering. I think looking back, we could see some downtrends in velocity and performance through the month of September, but he was always able to push through it and pitch through it, and then just got to the point where he felt like he couldn't and wanted to take a breath to figure out what was going on here. So I'm pretty confident we'll have a better idea, clearer picture at some point today.
He's like, I don't know if we could quite pinpoint the timing of it, but I think he made a podcast appearance on the hashtag Dort podcast.
It can't be.
And it all fell apart. I don't know if we could really pinpoint it perfectly.
He told us he never felt better. That we didn't ask him about his elbow. No, it's obviously disappointing, and you'll definitely cross that bridge when you get to it. And if there's a must-win game three, I mean, it's one of these things where come playoff time, and I'm always blown away by even when it's somebody like Garrett Crochet or like a Verlander in his prime, how quickly, if any pitcher is in trouble, they go to the bullpen. And, like, they'll take out a guy making $40 million. They'll, like, give him the hook in the third inning because they're just, like, so terrified of base runners in the playoffs. So it's one of those things where, yeah, I obviously would want Lucas Giolito starting game three rather than a bullpen game. But a bullpen game might be how they were going to manage him anyway. Like, a must win, right? Like, maybe game one is a little bit different and if you're not facing elimination like you would be in a game three. So, and that's one where we've always given Cora credit for this, right? We don't love every move he makes, but he is really good at using his bullpen, using other starters, doing all that stuff, and knowing when to take guys out. So that's something in game three that you might have seen anyway.
Look, the way he did it, the two times he made the playoffs, in 2018 and 2021, he was a master at it. If you want to give him credit for Friday night, I know nobody could watch it on Apple TV.
Yeah.
But the way,
trust us, it was good.
But the way he got Harrison out of there and went to his bullpen and said, we're going to limit it right here, and we are
going
to... And
he even went to Whitlock when they were trailing, and then he went to Chapman in a tie game. Like, the whole thing paid off.
And he's leaned on Whitlock a little bit more. I'm trying to remember if the Friday night game was just three outs. I think that was just three outs. But he's leaned on him more for four outs when he's needed to. So, no, look, Friday night, I give Cora a lot of credit for the way he handled that. And a lot is going to be on the manager, which we'll get to here coming up. I was digging in on Dr. Dugas, Keith.
Do you think Dr. Dugas
Sick
was like...
brag, bro.
Do you think he was like, hey, I will do the surgery for free, but you need to mention me by name in every interview
you do. Yeah,
they're like, all right, fine, product Dr.
placement.
Dugas.
It's a product placement situation. You know, it's like, oh, Pepsi. Yeah. I love Pepsi.
I love Dr.
Dugas. He's so great. Now, did you know he works at the...
I'm going to stop you right there. I don't know anything about this guy.
He works at the Andrews Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Center.
Okay.
So maybe he is the new Dr. James Andrews.
So maybe he is. He's the right-hand man, if you will.
He accepted a fellowship in sports medicine at the American Sports Medicine Institute, ASMI, in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, I know that.
Under the direction of James Andrews.
So good.
Dr. Dugas.
He's his Padawan.
Exactly.
That's great news. So that is the guy I would go do the surgery with.
Great. Okay, good. I feel better about it.
It's a younger Dr. Andrews.
All right, I feel like we're in good hands.
He might start game one of the ALDS now at this rate.
The other bad news is Bregman apparently is sick.
Oh, no. What's going on now?
Bregman.
That back to school. Everybody's back to school sick. Everyone's got something.
Bregman traveled separately from the team.
Okay.
To New York. And
he just maybe didn't want to be with him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he's under the weather too. Breslow made
the
it sound.
The guy is drunk.
No.
They were celebrating pretty hard on
they were
Friday
getting after
night.
It.
Although it looked like he was celebrating less hard than some of the others.
Did you watch any of the locker room clubhouse celebration?
All of it.
Did you see the one dude who I think might have been like a hitting coach?
Wait.
So Bregman was talking, right? Bregman was talking to one of the reporters, and he was like very calmly answering questions while he's wearing like, you know, goggles and a hat. Some guy slowly poured three or four beers on him. Like just cracked a Bud Light, slowly poured it. And you're like, all right, good one.
Yeah.
Cracks a second one. Poured it again. I'm like, get that guy out of here. Like, I would have shoved the guy. And then he's like, then you're like, they're still interviewing him. And Bregman's just like, not even looking at the guy. He's like, wiping beer out of his eye. And then you're like, is this going to keep at? Cracks a third one. Dumps it over his head. Like, you do like almost like an egg. It was like going so slowly over. I'm like, what is this guy's problem? You know, first of all, you're wasting a ton of beers. And he was just like slowly pouring beers and nobody reacted. It was just like very creepy.
That sounds like something people would pay for on OnlyFans. You just didn't break that down real
slow.
So
maybe Bregman was like, I don't want to travel with that guy.
Yeah.
So let me travel to New York
by
myself.
Thank you very much.
Is that guy going to be on the plane?
But anyway,
pass.
Maybe a few too many pops for Bregman.
It was bizarre.
Maybe back to school. Maybe the kids are getting everybody sick. I don't know. But he had to travel to New York separately. So, great.
Our guy Terp was in the clubhouse for that.
I did see that.
Yeah, yeah.
All business Terp.
All business Terp was there.
Glasses on.
No shirt
hat.
On.
Polo on. Yeah, I wouldn't have kept that on if I were him.
I would have popped it off to fit in with the fellas.
Whipped that
around
a little
bit. Taking our shirts off, right? Yeah, hell yeah.
Nips out, right?
That was a different approach because normally they're like, hey, guys, we have like playoff gear if you want to wear the playoff gear. And half the team was like, or we could just take our shirts off all together.
Yeah,
I was like, hell yeah.
Kind of rock, though.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, they get it.
Oh, you could almost make a Red Sox calendar now.
They should.
12 hunks.
Don't give Sam Kennedy any ideas. He just heard.
Yeah.
Copyright. Copyright.
We're selling
Sam,
it here.
Sam, you can't take that. Nope. That's copyright. We got that. Red Sox calendar.
All fired up.
Hunks of the Sox.
Yeah. Brian, I don't know if you can find it. He's got the Jaren Duran now on Twitch and YouTube. But if you can find Bregman, it was just like one beer after the next, slow poured on his head. And it was like, okay.
Nice.
We get it. We get it, dude. Guy wouldn't stop. The menace.
So he's sick. Your number three starter is hurt.
Other than that, though,
Yankees are favored in the series. Who you got, Keith?
I'm going Red Sox. It is Garrett Crochet gives you a lot of confidence. A three-game series, and as good as Max Fried is, you have the pitching advantage tonight. So don't get me wrong. In a three-game series, any team that loses game one, you're going to be a little fearful, a little nervous. But I like them tonight. I like Garrett Crochet. Aaron Judge, you know, it's interesting. Aaron Judge in the postseason has hit a bunch of home runs. He has 16 home runs in 58 games. But his OPS is actually under 800.
768.
He's batting like 200.
205.
Yeah.
And he struck out 86 times in 220 at bats.
So I don't know. I like the Red Sox lineup. I guess you could maybe describe it as scrappy, right? Like they don't have an Aaron Judge, right? They don't have that. But they got a bunch of different guys that have come through this season. And then I love the back end of their bullpen, too. And so I'll take the Red Sox in this series. It's the matchup I've wanted all along. So I'm not going to say, hey, give me the Yankees. And, you know, all due respect to Giolito, but just because Giolito goes down doesn't mean I'm going to switch and pick New York to win. I'm still taking the Sox.
Just turning your back on your guy Giolito.
I love Giolito.
What a shot.
I want to get him on again. I want to get him on the podcast again. I don't know if it's now's a good time to ask
or is it
a great time to ask.
I'd do it while he's iced up and post-surgery. I'd make sure he does that. Post-op. Make sure you get
people
that done.
Like, Giolito's coming back. We do a podcast with him. He's like got this giant like brace and cast on. It's like, I don't know. He might be back. He could be.
I don't know if younger Red Sox fans appreciate. We were talking about this with Brian, who's running Twitch today for All Business Terp. Who was worn out by media day, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, what happened to Terp? A little rest?
I don't know. It was a long media day, I guess. I don't know if younger Red Sox fans fully appreciate like how we used to think about Red Sox Yankees in the playoffs or in a big game, right?
God.
I mean, they haven't played actually that often in the playoffs. They had a one-game playoff in 78. You know, you have before playoff expansion, not a lot of matchups, obviously, but big games down the stretch. How we used to think of Red Sox Yankees is just completely flipped on its ear. They lost the ALCS in 99. They lost the ALCS with the Boone homer in 2003. Then they've won three straight series, rather.
Yeah.
Now, it was the ALCS in 04. It was a DS win in 18 and then the wild card game in 21. So I don't know if that really qualifies as a series, per se. I don't know that this really qualifies as a series. It could be a 2-0 sweep. But that's flipped on its ear. And the Red Sox dominated this series this season as well. So it used to be the kind of thing that would have you crapping a brick. It's like, oh, my God, it's the Yankees? This has gone very well for them.
No, it has.
And, you know, both times Cora's made the playoffs, he's beat the Yankees.
Yeah, no, he definitely has. I mean, there's still nothing like 03, 04. Just like it's maybe the worst moment as a sports fan followed by the best moment as a sports fan, and it'll never be that. But I'd say every series after that, Red Sox have had the upper hand, but it's also – it has been – super exciting, and it does mean more than, you know, even though the Astros became like a fun little rival, right? There was like the back seasons where they faced the Astros, and that was pretty fun, and then obviously the Cora dynamic to it, or, you know, facing whoever it might be, whether the Cardinals or the Rockies, but there's just obviously still something different. Even though
we score 16 at Yankee Stadium, suck on it.
Yeah, suck on it. So, great words. But I would say
the words of a
like,
wise man.
Yeah, like it's because we were going into the last week. You're like, oh, you could play the Blue Jays, and like that's a division rival, and like that'd be a whole thing. But like, I don't know. There's still nothing better in baseball than a Red Sox Yankees playoff series.
So is this the matchup you wanted? How you feeling about it? What chances are you giving the Red Sox with their number three starter already out and Bregman with the sniffies? 617-779-7937. You can weigh in there all day long.
Could be his Jordan flu game, though.
Could be.
The Bregman flu series.
Yeah, maybe they're setting that up.
Yeah.
The flu two games.
The flu two games.
This is what they're setting
the
up.
The flu two.
So we have a tier Tuesday at 11:30. We'll tier off all the teams, including the Red Sox, in MLB's postseason. It's Tom E. Tuesday. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran at high noon Eastern time this week, local time.
How do you like that?
We'll be talking to him, I believe, unless he has to move again. Right at his normally scheduled time. We got Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. And we're going to talk to Keith McPherson of The Fan at 1 o'clock, get a Yankee fan's perspective on this series later on in the show today. By the way, two quick texts, Keith.
Yeah?
And we've already copyrighted this, so this is now all proprietary information.
It's ours.
With our Red Sox calendar.
Yeah, hunks.
Number one, it's a good name. WEEI playoff pinup.
Playoff pinup.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Number two, make them in the pictures wear a Wally head with no shirt, and then you got to guess whose abs they are each month.
Ooh, that's I like that.
That's pretty good.
I like that a lot.
That looks like Romy Gonzalez.
Just the Wally head, nothing else. that has to be like an OnlyFans thing, but we could probably still get that done.
That just says no,
charge more for it.
No shirt, but that's
nothing.
Honestly, good idea.
Just the Wally head.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You started to see it come together a little bit last year, I felt like, and now, you know, obviously this year, after, you know, a little bit of an uneven start, they've really become obviously a very good team and one of the best teams in the league here the second half of the year. And but I think a lot of people saw it coming too, contrary to what, you know, I think he's played the little engine that could over there a little bit. I think a lot of people knew the Red Sox were coming this year. So
how is Aaron Boone? Wow, working a little blue.
Seriously. I kind of get his point, though. I don't like Aaron Boone, obviously. I'm from this area, so I can't stand him. But
he's 1,000% right about
so
this.
Right? Yeah. He's so right. He's like, people thought the Red Sox were going to be pretty good. He's like, he's playing the little engine that could. And it's true. Cora's going like, nobody thought we were going to be good. I just was
nobody
like,
thought we could do it.
Literally, our whole show had them in at least the ALCS. We all said they were going to win the division. I was looking up after he said that.
Billy,
just like,
Billy had him winning the World
winning
Series.
Winning the whole thing.
The World Series.
Somebody else
he's
had.
He's like, no one had us in the playoffs.
I think it was at the Herald or Mass Live or one of them. Every writer there had him making the playoffs. But you're like, all right, that's local. Maybe we're just excited about it. I was looking up some of the other like best bets before the season or like MLB predictions. Guys, like, this might be bold, but give me the Red Sox with like 94 wins or whatever. Like, CBS is like, give me the Red Sox to win the division. Like, everybody thought the Red Sox were going to be good.
Somebody sent us this when we were bitching about it yesterday. FanGraphs, it was like 24 of their writers had the Red Sox in the playoffs.
Yeah, like, something
most people had you in the playoffs. What are you talking about?
It's Rodney Harrison, and if it works for you, great. If this motivates you, so be it. But don't prop it up like you did a better job because that's what it is.
But we all see through it. Like if you're going to do it, I mean, at least make it halfway believable. Like, trust me, I don't mind leaning in on a hot take, Cora, but you got to make it halfway believable.
And even, like, he, like, tried to make it more by, the like, manager, swearing.
Yeah.
Like, all right, bud.
The manager on the other side is laughing at you.
Yeah.
So, like,
everybody thought you guys were going to be pretty good.
Now, look, I don't think Boone's a great manager. Red Sox should have the advantage in this series. Cora's beaten the Yankees twice in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. You make a lot of money. Go prove it, Alex. Like, it's a good proving ground for all the pro Cora people out there. And I'm not one of them, but I'd take Alex Cora over Aaron Boone.
Yep.
And you should have a big advantage in this series with the manager. So let's see if that actually plays out. But, yeah, that's a joke. And we all saw right through it. And everybody knows most people had the Red Sox in the playoffs before the year started. If he said when we traded Rafi, if he said that, when we traded Rafi, no one believed we'd make the playoffs, he still couldn't yell at you and me.
No. No, God, no.
We thought they'd be better. His boss, Breslow, thought they'd be better. I don't know if he's his boss. The GM thought they'd be better and said it and put it on the record. And so he can't yell at everybody. But that, to me, would have been much closer to the bone. Hey, when we traded Rafi, no one thought we'd be here in the playoffs, and now we're shutting everybody up. That would have been more accurate.
No, like, if you made some sort of line about how people jumped ship and now we're jumping back on, like that kind of thing, then so be it. But, like, he specifically said at the beginning of the season where everybody had you in. Playoff roster is out, Jones. The 26 men that will try to defeat the Yankees.
Oh, this is the calendar. We have the calendar.
We have the 26. Yeah, we're going to have to whittle this down.
Yeah, okay.
Or they might have to share a month, some of these guys.
Okay.
They're going with 12 pitchers. 12 right. pitchers on the roster in alphabetical order. Brian Baio, Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Crochet, Connolly Early, Kyle Harrison, Zach Kelly, Steven Matz, Justin Slayton, Peyton Tolley, Greg Weissert, Garrett Whitlock, and Justin Wilson.
Okay. So some notes on that. No Bernardino.
No.
No May. Obviously no Giolito. No Ken's favorite. No Chris Murphy.
Murphy struck out Shohei Ohtani.
Score one for Ken. No Murphy.
No, but,
in this series.
But Tolley and Early. That's not a shock, but I just think, you know, good for those guys.
Tolley, Early, Harrison.
Yep.
They're all on Bernardino, May, and Murphy, who were choices to be left off. Maybe Bernardino's not healthy. Giolito is obviously hurt, so they had to make a move there. That's probably how Harrison snuck on.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know that they're going to use him, but that's probably how he snuck on. Okay,
it's amazing. You have 12 pitchers, and really, you have two starters.
Yeah.
Right? Like, pretty much. Like, Tolley and Early, maybe, you know, long-term, hopefully, they will be starters. But right now, you're like, you have 10 relievers and two starters. Obviously, Narvaez and Wong.
Yep.
Alex Bregman, despite him having an illness, apparently.
Okay, so they didn't leave him off for the sniffies.
No, he's on there.
Good.
David Hamilton, Nathaniel Lowe, and Trevor Story.
I probably don't need David Hamilton on the team, but whatever.
I don't.
Keep going. Yeah.
No. Willier Abreu, Jaron Duran, Rob Refsnyder, Masataka Yoshida, Nate Eaton, Romy Gonzalez, Seidon Rafaela, and Nick Sogard are all on there. It's amazing, like, the Roman Anthony injury, and yet somehow you get Nate Eaton and Nick Sogard on the playoff roster?
Well, Yankees are going with lefties to start the first two games, right? So I wonder if some of that is matchup-based. I think.
Well, I would assume Romy and Refsnyder are in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, it's true. So I don't know. I don't know that you can possibly start Nate Eaton. But no. I was looking at
the guy can pinch run and stuff like that. He could be useful.
Yeah. True. And he does have good numbers against Fried. I was looking at this for betting purposes, but he's 2-for-3 in one start with a couple of walks against Fried.
Ooh, good eye.
So I don't know if that's a guy
good plate discipline.
I don't know if that's a guy you want to get in there specific to this matchup. Or like you said, he is a replacement player, a pinch runner, or just a guy who can hit against lefties later on in the game.
Yeah.
But there might be some value there specific to this pitching matchup.
I mean,
tonight.
It's going to be interesting to see like just how right-handed they can make the lineup. You know, Bregman, Story, Refsnyder, Gonzalez, Rafaela, Narvaez. Like, that's a start. But I would assume you still got to have Jaron Duran in there. And, you know, we'll see where they go.
So Duran, by the way, horrible against lefties all year, horrible specifically against Fried. I just backed out of it. I think he's 0-for-10.
So, but you got to have him in there, right? Maybe have him
Cora,
hit,
like, Cora hit. Said yesterday he's going to be in
there. Yeah, I was going to say he's going to be in there, but like, where do you think he's going to hit, like 7th or 8th?
Yeah, maybe.
We've seen that before, too.
Hang on, let me get this for you. I believe he's 0-for-10 in his career against Fried.
Oh, no. Really?
Yep.
He's due? You want to go with that?
He is due. Duran, 0-for-10, 5 Ks against Max Fried. I don't know if you want Yoshida in there either tonight.
No, my guess would be no. Like, Nathaniel Lowe and Yoshida.
That's a harder one, though, because he's been red hot. But I don't want him in there against the lefty either. So maybe that's a way to sneak in one of your extra righties, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I'm interested. You guys can discuss 617-779-7937. You agree they have the managerial advantage, Cora, over Boone?
I do.
Okay. Look, I don't know that he can make enough of a difference in this series to just straight up win it with the Red Sox down their third starter, no Roman Anthony, but we'll see. You know, the Cora people is a big series for you out there. Mm-hmm. He's highly paid. We all agree you have the advantage, so let's see it actually play out. Mark is in Medford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
So you guys know I'm a diehard Yankees fan, but even I think Aaron Boone is a clown.
Hang on real quick. Keith, you shook your head. I also didn't know.
I did not know that.
We did not know you were a Yankee fan.
I associate you with the Bruins. Yeah, I did not know about the Yankees.
I was unaware of that. I didn't even know you like baseball.
It's, It's the only Boston team I don't like is the Red Sox.
Got it. Okay, right. Good to know. We'll add that to your master file.
With that said, yes, I know the Red Sox spanked the Yankees this year, but they didn't spank them in the last series. And since then, the Yankees bats have been hot. Judge, Stanton, Rice, Chisholm, Bellinger. And I think on the big stage, I think Crochet drops a big fat wet one tonight.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was a quick.
Good Lord.
A big fat wet one. That was a quicker hook than I meant to give him there.
You were waiting for something else. I thought he was going to go a little bit.
I just kind of flinched
a little more aggressive.
Crochet in his career has made playoff appearances. I believe they were all out of the bullpen for the White Sox.
Yeah, because, I mean, more recently, the White Sox teams that he like pitched more for were trash teams. But he did pitch out of the pen, right, in whatever one of those years?
Yep. He has made four appearances out of the bullpen in 2020. One there. You don't count that, Keith.
No.
And then he made three in 2021. He's pitched three total innings, hasn't given up a run.
Yeah.
So, look, if you want to say Crochet's never done it, accurate.
Yeah, no, we'll see.
I don't know what you'd see in his playoff history this year, the matchup specific to the Yankees. I gave you the numbers earlier. He's 3-0 in four starts with an ERA in the low threes. He's punching out way more guys than innings he's faced. The Red Sox won all four of those games. So you can say he's never done it, and you don't believe he'll do it. I just don't really know what you're basing that on. Other than he's never done it, which is fair to say. He has never done it. But if you watched him at all this year against that team, he has locked him down, including, and Mark wanted to go to this series. Again, I was unaware he's a Yankee fan.
No, I didn't know that.
The Yankees did win one series against the Red Sox this year. They lost the other three.
Yeah.
And I believe the Red Sox were 5-2 in the Bronx against New York. But the last game, Crochet started and the Red Sox won. So even in the series the Yankees won, Crochet won that game.
Yeah, I just felt like there were a handful of times this year, and he got the ball and went every single time. But there were a handful of times where you're like, all right, this is a big one for him. What's this going to look like? You know, maybe based on either opponent or it was, you know, a losing streak or like where they were at and like all these different things. And I don't know, he was up to the challenge every time. Like I feel good about Garrett Crochet. But yeah, there is an unknown. I'm sure the Yankees felt great when they had like Garrett Cole, or you know, teams felt great when they first had somebody like David Price in the postseason. And
good point.
You're like, oh, wait a minute.
Good point.
Maybe these guys aren't ready for the postseason. So there is an unknown, but
617-779-7937. You can discuss this matchup. By the way, Max Fried, I wouldn't feel great about him in the postseason. That's a lifetime 5.10 ERA.
Oh.
Although he was part of a World Series winner.
Yeah, he was on that Braves team,
with the
right?
Braves, where he was that 2021 when they won it. He was fine that postseason, not great. He was 2-2.
It is, and they scored like a million runs that year. So he was anybody with a 5-year rate could have won games.
He was 4.23 that specific postseason, but lifetime he's 5.10 in 20 appearances, 12 starts in the playoffs. So if there's somebody who's probably not going to pitch well, it's him. We'll get to your feedback. 617-779-7937. I want to get to a down year for Major League Baseball, which is good news for the Red Sox beyond the matchup we wanted. Which maybe you didn't want this matchup. How you feeling about this matchup? Again, you can discuss. But it was a down year for Major League Baseball. We'll get into that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch to Sadon. He's swung on and driven. High and deep into center field. It's at the track. It is at the wall. Off the wall. Romy's coming to third. The Red Sox are going to the playoffs. Sadon. Say hello to October. It's a 4-3 walk-off winner.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off all the teams left in Major League Baseball's postseason. Comes your way at 11:30. That'll tie in nicely with this. Major League Baseball had another down season, Keith.
What do you mean?
Which we can get into electric. Here in just a little bit. Look, the Red Sox are in. That's great.
Yeah.
But overall, the sport, there's
some...
They had
new uniforms this year.
There's some scary... scary tendencies in the direction of the sport, which we can get to coming up. We'll also talk to Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday at high noon Eastern time.
Love it.
Not Central, not Brazil time.
Perfect.
Eastern time this week. We got a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45 and Keith McPherson of The Fan. He's going to join us with a Yankee perspective on this series coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's go to Jonathan up in New Hampshire. What's going on, Jonathan?
Look, can we just dream a little bit right now?
Sure.
Because I just figured something out that I might be wrong on. You guys can correct me if I am.
Where are the people to do it? Yep.
Take this scenario. Here's a scenario that I'm laying out.
Okay. Yeah.
The Sox beat the Yanks.
Sure.
Like it.
Then they beat the Blue. They would play the Blue Jays in the next round. They beat them.
Love that. So far, so good.
They're decimated. You know, I mean, it's a very good chance that could happen.
Sure.
Especially with all the lefties that the Red Sox put on their roster. Early, Harrison, totally, I like that, in Yankee Stadium.
Any corrections yet, Keith?
On the other end,
like it. Okay. Yep,
this is good.
And then on the other end, the Tigers beat Cleveland.
All right.
And then they beat Seattle. Okay. You've got an ALCS possibility of Sox-Tigers with Red Sox getting home field advantage.
Love it, Jonathan. Love it, Jonathan.
That would be a duck boat scenario.
That
would be duck boats.
That's the one team they would have home field against in the American League.
Got it.
That is excellent.
Look,
I love that.
Red Sox beat the Yankees. Feel good about that. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays. I feel okay about that. Honestly, it's a great path.
I do.
I'm
predicting.
I personally don't think the Tigers portion is happening.
What?
This is me. I wouldn't forecast that. Seattle never loses and Cleveland never loses, so I don't know how Detroit's
devil magic teams.
I don't know how Detroit's beating both those teams, but whatever.
And then if you want World Series home field advantage, you need to hope for a rematch of the 1975 World Series against the Big Red Machine.
Oh, good.
I think Cincinnati.
Francona on the other side?
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cincinnati, game one would be at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
I think every other team in the National League had a better record than the Red Sox.
Red Sox. Reds.
Red Sox, Reds.
Big Red Machine.
Yep.
Tito,
yep.
75 rematch.
Love it.
I'm throwing this guy in there for some reason. Ellie De La Cruz. That's just fun.
Yep.
Okay, that'd be pretty good.
Goodwill Hunting. the whole thing.
I got to go see about a girl.
He sure does.
Yeah.
He sure does.
Well, you know, worked out for him.
Actually watched that movie? You didn't think about watching it?
No, that's what I watched.
That was a good film.
Yeah, it was a good film. Yeah,
real good film.
I watched that one.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. I just don't know why he stopped at the ALC. He should have just gone all the way to your
Red
Sox.
But long story short, yes. If you take care of business, what's more likely, though? The Red Sox get to the ALCS or the Tigers? That's to the Red Sox. I think the Tigers are going to lose to the Guardians in the first round.
The Tigers are going to get bounced in two games.
That's the flaw in that whole logic. If the Guardians are too hot. They're too hot right now. Hopefully, a little bit of a layoff. Actually, it's not even that long of a layoff. See, I think if the Guardians were the team that had a bye, that would hurt them more. Like 2 years ago, you saw all the teams with buys just drop right away.
Yep.
Last year, it kind of went back a little bit.
Yeah, they had to sit around. Yeah, you wouldn't feel so good.
But then it cool off a little bit. But no, they're in a good spot. They're in action. What, this couple hours, right? Don't they play at one today?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Let me give you a quick stat here, Keith.
Ooh, I like a stat.
Stat of the week nominee. I don't want to nominate myself. It's kind of like giving yourself a nickname. But
Nick
I'm gonna
had a stat of the week nominee yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm throwing this one into the ring.
Okay.
So the Guardians are calling up some prospect I had never heard of to play his first games in the postseason, Chase DeLauter.
Chase DeLauter?
Because they need some offense. I've highlighted, and I don't want to deal with their dark magic. I don't want to face them. But I look at their roster, I'm like, I do not get how the Guardians are doing it. I don't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't jump off the page.
They have the lowest batting average for any postseason team in Major League Baseball history, .226.
Your batting average is your grandfather's stat. Nobody cares about batting average.
Is that the problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for a dinosaur.
What's their OPS?
That's their dinosaur stat.
What's their WOBAP or whatever?
Okay. Well, that's fair. Run differential, is that somewhat an advanced metric? They still have a negative run differential.
Also for dinosaurs.
So I don't quite get how they're doing it. But whatever.
Their VORP plus.
They're doing it. I don't know. You got to look that up. Meanwhile, Keith, I think this is a good example of why baseball is down this year, which is a good story for the Red Sox. It's all wide open, really, would be the main takeaway from
sure
all of this.
Sure is.
But the Guardians can't lose. They have the worst batting average in the history of the sport among playoff teams, and they're the team that no one wants to face. Mm-hmm. So up is down, down is up. We're spotting dimes. We're eating onions. You look at some of these other numbers here throughout baseball this year. It's the first time there haven't been back-to-back 100-win teams in over a decade. The last time that happened, baseball went 2 years without a 100-win team. was 2012 through 2014. So there is no dominant team
in the sport. Parity. Parity is king.
There is parity, which, again, is good for the second wild card team. Sticking with the Guardians for a moment and the low batting average, Trey Turner this year, Keith, led the National League with a 304 batting average.
With 304?
304 led the National League. Wow. That breaks Tony Gwynn's previous record. He had the previous low, believe it or not, Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn?
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of high seasons in there as well.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, the guy hit like 360 every year.
But Tony Gwynn had the previous low record.
Rest in peace.
The lowest all time was Carl Yastrzemski in 68, 301.
He's socking singles in the sky.
For a batting champ?
Now. Yeah.
But yeah, we only had seven qualified 300 hitters in baseball this year. Seven of them.
Wow.
Joke a stig. Seven of them.
Seven of them.
And
Joe, I would like that stat.
Thank you. Yeah, Joe didn't want to acknowledge.
I got
that
another.
Stat.
I got a stat of the year nominee. So, are you still rolling here?
No, I just think baseball is down, which is good news for a team like the Red Sox. Yeah, they can go on a run because there is no dominant team. There's no real dominant.
The way you
players.
Were talking about, I thought you meant like baseball's down, like people aren't interested in it. Just the team stink.
I mean, I mean it's wide open
for the
Red Sox.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
All right, I got another stat for you.
Okay.
Sick brag, bro.
You ready for this?
Are you self-nominated?
I'm gonna one up your stats.
We might as well self-nominate.
So Nick had one that I forget what it was. Yep. I'm sure it was good. You just had like three or four in there.
Well, I only nominated one, but there were a bunch.
2025.
Yeah.
The season in the books.
Uh-huh.
There was no no-hitters this year for the first time in 20 years.
Wow.
There hasn't been no-no-nos since 2005.
No-no-no.
This year, there's no-no-nos. Nobody threw a no-no. So all year, there's no-no-nos.
So, can you bet that in the playoffs? Can I just bet, like, in the postseason, will there be a postseason no-no?
No.
I should be able to.
Nah, get
buying opportunity or sucker's bet?
I don't think it's even available.
Yeah, but if it were.
Sucker's bet. You think someone's going to throw a no-hitter in the playoffs?
Keith, it hasn't happened in 20-some-odd
years.
Didn't
Roy Halladay do that, rest in peace?
Yeah.
He did. In the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Man. But no-no-no's this year. What do you think that means?
It's baseball's wide open.
Probably not a lot of complete games, too.
I think we have the same take. No. I think when you look at it, a team like
different
the Red Sox.
Different stat, same take.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Different stat, same take. But the idea, Keith, and I know you already subscribed to this. You probably didn't need any of these stats to believe it.
No, but they help.
Baseball is a win and get in sport. But especially this year. There is no dominant team. There's no dominant team in the AL. The Blue Jays are banged up. You dominate the Yankees. On the other side, Cleveland is a team nobody wants to face. They have the worst batting average in the history of the sport among playoff teams. Nobody won 100 games. There are no-no-nos.
No
one hits 300 anymore. It's right there for the Red Sox taking.
Yeah, the 300 thing. I mean, I knew that there was like less of an emphasis on average, but the fact that 304 leads the league. Remember, there were some like Red Sox lineups back in the day that like everybody hit 300.
Yeah.
Like the whole line. Bill Miller obviously won the batting title hitting ninth, but there was years where like almost everybody hit 300. Now it's like one guy per team at best. Yeah, I'm trying to look up how many complete games there were this year. I can't even imagine there were too many.
I thought we did look this up at one point.
The Red Sox had a couple of them.
Yeah, didn't we look it up at one point late in the year? It was like, no, somebody called in. They're like, Bob Gibson had 28 complete games, and there's been only 28 complete games all year. And then you really mousetrapped him with the old Haas Radburn.
Got him.
Yeah, you got him good.
Yeah, complete games doesn't say exactly how many, but only three pitchers threw two.
This is not the stat of the week.
No, this is a mess. This it wouldn't tell you. They just like label all these guys.
All right.
But Valdez, Lodolo, and Bybee each threw two complete games.
Nice. To
tie for the league lead with two. Old Haas threw like 67 of them.
Oh, like in a week. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. It's wide open for the Red Sox. Can they go take it? How do you feel about this matchup? We talked about Alex Cora's macho head games. Nobody believed in the Red Sox. Are you giving the Red Sox the advantage at manager over Aaron Boone? And how do the Red Sox deal with the loss of Giolito and Bregman with the sniffies? Again, 617-779-7937. All your feedback there. But it is time to get to the Patriots, Keith. Drake May, getting a lot of national hype. Not just here.
He's rolling right now.
We're giving him a lot of hype here.
Sure we are.
A lot of national hype. Is he deserving of it? Let's get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.